Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Plotter in Washington, D.C.
I expect another diplomatic gathering of heads of state. I expect a few days of deliberation, and then I expect a broad-based resolution to the meeting.
The African Union Heads of State Summit is underway in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa.
According to the constitution of the country, now all aspiring candidates are given 21 days to hold their political campaign to track in and out of the country to sell their programs.
Groups demand a new date for Senegal's presidential election before April 2nd.
We are having a meeting of all opposition parties in the country. We deem it as the opposition parties summit, where we'll discuss the challenges engulfing our electoral process and the way forward.
And Botswana opposition political parties plan to meet soon to decide what to do ahead of the coming general election. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The 37th Ordinary Session of the African Union, AU, Assembly of the Heads of State and Government opened on Saturday at the AU headquarters in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. The three-day event, being hosted by the chairperson of the African Union Commission, Musa Faki Mahamat, is held under the AU's theme of the year for 2024, Educate an African Fit for the 21st Century, Building Resilient Education Systems for Increased Access to Inclusive, Lifelong Quality and Relevant Learning in Africa. The summit also aims to strengthen collaboration between political leaders and address the worrying security situation and conflict in a few of its member states. It will also proffer recommendations on innovative ways to manage the crisis sustainably in a bid to return to peace. My colleague Douglas Impuga reached political analyst David Monda and began by asking him about his expectations of the summit.
I expect another diplomatic gathering of heads of state. I expect a few days of deliberation, and then I expect a broad-based resolution to the meeting. But having said that, I still expect a lot of the challenges and issues that the AU faces to remain, around challenges of a rapidly expanding agenda of the AU, the AU's ambitious agenda. Issues around promotion of democracy, rule of law, and good governance are still there, but also the continuing issues around the reform of the Africa Union and trying to make it more proactive to the challenges facing the continent.
Yeah, talking of the agenda, Africa now faces a series of conflicts, including the conflict in Eastern DR Congo, the Sudan situation, the coups that happened in West Africa. What do you expect from the leaders they are gathering in Addis Ababa about these issues?
I think there'll be continual discussions on those issues, but it's going to continue to be a challenge because this is part of the critique of the Africa Union, that it ends up being a talk shop. Every few years, the leaders meet, and it's the same problems every time, the same issues and the same kind of narrative. As you'd mentioned, we have this major conflagration in the Great Lakes region. This has been a problem that's continually been there. Next door to Ethiopia, we have the ongoing civil war there between the government and the rebel forces. South Sudan is at a level of its own low-level civil war between the different factions there. We know about the coup d'etats that have been prevalent in the Sahel. But even Ethiopia itself, the headquarters of the AU, has actually gone through a really brutal civil war of its own in the Tigray region. So the AU really still faces major challenges, particularly around these issues of democracy, the rule of law, good governance, peace and security and reform of the organization. I think these are going to continue to be major, major problems that the AU will have to face.
As some analysts have pointed out, that an organization of this nature, with leaders with varying governance systems, some of them military, can never agree on issues of democracy, can they?
So this is a challenge, because it's difficult to push democracy when a majority of the members of the AU do not ascribe to democratic principles, when a majority of the members of the AU are illiberal democracies, meaning they're democracy on paper, but they don't practice that democracy. The presidents regularly change constitutions to stay into power. They regularly flout court orders and the rights of their own civilians. But I think more broadly, as we think about the AU, is the division within the AU around basic issues of the norms of democracy and the rule of law. And by that I mean, for example, the challenge we have within the Sahel. Think about Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger pulling out of ECOWAS, and the ECOWAS bloc not really having a unified response to this extra constitutional means of militaries taking over power in the Sahel. And more concerning also is democratic backsliding, where we've seen recently in Senegal, where the president has attempted to suspend elections, which are constitutionally mandated. So we also see the challenge for the AU, where countries that have been traditional democracies, models for democracy on the continent, like Senegal, which are backsliding, which seem to be moving towards, undemocratic practices. So, like you've rightly mentioned, it's difficult to aspire to hold continental norms around good governance when a majority of the members of AU flout those norms of democracy and rule of law, but also the bigger problem of countries that have traditionally been known to be democratic to be engaging in democratic backsliding. I think that creates a very bad precedent, not only for more democratic countries on the continent, but also it reinforces this idea of these rogue states that where you have militaries taking over power, that it's okay to flout constitutions, because even the more progressive countries, the more democratic countries seem to be moving in that direction to flout democracy and the rule of law.
David Monda is a professor of political science at City University of New York. He spoke with my colleague Douglas Mpuga from New York. In Senegal, a group of civil society and opposition leaders under the umbrella group Let's Preserve Our Elections is calling on President Macky Sall to set a date for the vote before his second and final term expires on April 2nd. This after members of the group held a protest in the capital, Dakar, on Saturday to press over their demand. It comes after the Constitutional Council ruled that Parliament's postponement of the February presidential poll was not in line with the Constitution. For the latest development about the demands of the civil society umbrella group, I reached reporter Alpha Jallo in the Senegalese capital, Dakar.
Yes, the latest is yesterday, Saturday, a coalition of civil society groups and the opposition, they calling themselves Arsenal Election, literally meaning preserving our election. They held a peaceful demonstration, and they are pressing President Macky Sall to organize the election as soon as possible without delay before the expiry of his final mandate on the 2nd of April 2024. So they are saying that President Macky Sall, given the political context, President Macky Sall can organize the election before April.
Alpha, what are you hearing from the president's camp? What are you hearing from there?
Yes, there are so many news emerging from the presidential camp, because many newspapers reported that President Macky Sall held a secret meeting with his cabinet. And just day before yesterday, or yesterday morning also, the government spokesperson, Abdulrahman Fofana, came on air said that President Macky Sall is going to accept the decision of the Constitutional Court, and that he is going to organize election as soon as possible. But he needs to consult all the presidential candidates, 20 presidential candidates. So people are saying that maybe President Macky Sall is going to meet them tomorrow or maybe on Tuesday. But he is expecting to meet the political class, especially the presidential aspirant, either Monday or Tuesday, according to the government spokesperson.
In its ruling, the Constitutional Council annulled the presidential decree to postpone the February 25th elections, but didn't really set a date for the elections. Do you think the elections can be held before the expiration of President Macky Sall's second and final term, as even demanded by civil society and opposition groups?
Yes, that's a very good question, Peter. So most of the constitutionalists in Senegal, especially some of these, university lecturers in different universities across the country, they said that the fact that the constitutional councils have just rejected President Macky Sall's demand to push the election until the 15th of December doesn't mean that President Macky Sall cannot organize the election before the expiry of his mandate. He said they added that even if, according to the constitution of the country, now all aspiring candidates are giving 21 days to hold their political campaign to track in and out of the country to sell their programs. But if in this case they can even reduce the number of the campaign period and make sure that election can be held in March or early in April, and then before the expiry of President Sall's mandate. This is what some of the constitutional experts are saying, that it is possible to do the election before the 2nd of April.
Overall, Alpha, what does the atmosphere look like in the past few days?
Yeah, very interesting in the last couple of days since the decision of the Constitutional Council. So everybody, even if you go to the marketplace, some of these, ladies, people selling in the marketplace, they are all discussing this. If you are in the public bus, the topic is the same, that President Macky Sall should organize the election, he has ruled Senegal for 12 years. He should step now down and allow Senegal to elect a new president. So this is the conversation everywhere in all corners of the country, whether in the shops, in the bars, in the market. So it's quite interesting since the decision of the Constitutional Council announced. So people are talking everywhere. People are talking that, President Macky Sall should make sure that he organized the election so that at least he can go by the great door, meaning that so that he can honorably leave the office without any problem.
That's reporter Alpha Jallo. He spoke with me from the Senegalese capital, Dakar.
On this weekend's Issues in the News, world leaders react to reports that Alexei Navalny, Russian President Vladimir Putin's fiercest critic, has died in prison. A look at challenges Ukraine faces without continued U.S. military aid. And Israeli forces raid the biggest functioning hospital in Gaza as doctors describe dire conditions. Listen this weekend on VOA's Issues in the News.
In Botswana, opposition political parties plan to meet soon to decide what to do ahead of the coming general election. This after jointly expressing concern about the decision of representatives of the Independent Electoral Commission in Botswana to visit Zimbabwe to benchmark the neighboring country's electoral procedures. The opposition groups say the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is not the best source for inspiration due to recent disputed elections there. But local media reports say the Botswana Electoral Commission has dismissed accusations that its visit to Zimbabwe was to learn how to rig elections. Katlefile Motsewa, the general secretary of the opposition Botswana National Front, or BNF, tells me there are better electoral bodies in Africa and elsewhere that the country's electoral commission can consult to ensure the coming polls are transparent and credible.
Our reaction, first and foremost, is that elections must be held in a transparent manner that demonstrates freeness and fairness to bring credibility to the process so that whoever wins or emerges the winner and form government must become a legitimate government. So that is the essence of electoral process, and it must conform to international best practice and standards set by, among others, SADC. Then secondly, Zimbabwe's elections has been discredited by the Zimbabweans themselves and SADC observer missions. And in that context, it is unexplainable and unacceptable for Botswana's Independent Electoral Commission to make an attempt to benchmark from an institution that is discredited as such.
Makatlefile, the question is, if there are issues that they can learn from to better strengthen the ability of the Independent Electoral Commission to organize free, fair, transparent election in Botswana, what is wrong with that?
We are saying there is nothing to learn, because there are best democracies with effective electoral systems where we can benchmark. So why all of a sudden, or why their first emission should be in a system that is already discredited, riddled with political violence? So we are saying there is nothing to benchmark from ZEC, because already Zimbabwe as a country is under some economic sanctions because of how they handle their elections. Remember in 2013, the Botswana delegation led by the then Vice President Merafe, who is late now, they poured cold water in the manner with which Zimbabwean elections were held. So
Bakatlefile, the Independent Electoral Commission of Botswana, as officials say, has a track record of organizing free, fair, transparent elections in Botswana. And they promised to ensure that the coming elections will be the same, will be credible and transparent. So if it's a capacity building that they are learning from other places, their first step, why should it be a bother to opposition groups like yours?
No, first and foremost, it's not true that they have a track record of holding fair and credible elections. The last election, 2019 elections, they were disputed. They were disputed in the sense that there were reports and evidence of rigging. That is why such matters were ultimately taken to court. It's just the Court of Appeal ended up saying, in terms of the Electoral Act, they don't have the jurisdiction to preside over or listen to electoral petitions. So 2019 elections discredited the reputation of Botswana's IEC. And in 2014, there were also complaints. As far as 1984...
If there is this challenge and you are doubting even the voter register list that will be used, does that mean that opposition will boycott this year's elections if you have all these problems?
We are having a meeting of all opposition parties in the country. We deem it as the opposition parties summit, where we'll discuss the challenges engulfing our electoral process and the way forward. So that may be pursued. We'll hear and see what the outcome of the meeting will be. But even the citizens are concerned themselves. We hear that even within the ruling parties, there is instability, where others are saying, no, this has discredited government. Why ZEC of Zimbabwe, of all institutions, will they benchmark from that? So remember, we made an attempt through our members of parliament for electoral reforms to the current electoral act. The ruling party used their majority to thwart off the possibility of having reforms. We tried with court to use the judiciary. So we'll see.
Katlefile Motengwa is the General Secretary of the Opposition Botswana National Front, or BNF. He spoke with me from the Botswana capital, Habaroni. In Uganda, the deputy spokesperson of the Opposition National Unity Platform, or NUP, says the group is building new administrative structures to prepare for the future. Alex Waiswa says the NUP is ahead of schedule in introducing reforms, including clearing the party of those who appear to sympathize with the ruling party. Political observers say the party wants to significantly improve its electoral prospect ahead of the next general election scheduled for 2026. For more information about the implementation of the NUP's roadmap to strengthen its rank and file, as well as its electoral prospect, I reached Deputy Spokesperson Alex Waiswa.
The party for the last about a year has been enhanced on a program of reviewing its constitution to move in tandem with the current modern times and the political environment. And a few days back, it was gazetted by the processes of the Electoral Commission. And therefore, we have now ensued on restructuring our party as a political organization and having the grassroots structures through the office of the secretary again. So yes, our roadmap, we are ahead of time in our plan, because it included, one, having a review of our constitution immediately after elections to have a realignment of our structure from the introduction of the Elders Council, the Executive Board, the Parliamentary Core, and the Delegates Conference. So, yes, I want to tell the world that the National Unity Platform, headed by His Excellency Robert Kyagulanyi Ssentamu, is now on en route to having its structural roadmap development across the whole country ahead of the future political times.
Critics are saying that your statement and the NUP stance that you will be better prepared for the upcoming 2026 elections means that you were not fully prepared during the last general election.
One, anybody discussing elections of 2026 is running so fast. Our structures are party structures, as I have said, that our constitution has been realigned with the current political time. And it is important that where you have a new working document, then you align your structures and yourself with that working document. We are working towards giving the leadership of the party through the rule of law. And that is our party constitution, in consonance with the national constitution. So anybody thinking that we are discussing elections, I think, is misled, is misguided. We are saying we are drawing our structures of the party, of the structures, the leadership of the party from the grassroots. And I don't think that is preparing for the next election. And I want to tell you, there is no way you would blame us for having not been prepared in the last election, an election that we tell you authoritatively that we won. So anybody who wants to castigate us against the last election on preparation, I think is mistaken, because we won that election.
What necessitated this move for this implementation? What happened?
Growth, and being abhorrent to the rule of law. Where our party has grown, you know, that the vibrance started a few years ago. It is the youngest political party, and therefore it has a lot of processes to reach where we want it. The sky is the limit. You know very well that we are looking. The other time, we did not have a party headquarter. Now we have an established party headquarter. We did not have a training school of leaders. We are in final stages of opening up our training school. So even the capacity building that we need as an organization has moved from one level to another. And you know, training can never stop. So our institution is working towards capacity building through training, advancement of structures, but also rhyming with the current political style as enshrined in our constitution.
I understand the NUP aims to strengthen its vetting process for candidates. What does this entail?
Yeah, it is important. We have a few persons whose character has remained appalling that have gone against the power of the people, and yet they were elected on the necodets of the power of the people. But most importantly, the doctrine of fairness must be not only be heard, but must be seen in the practice of the National Unity Platform. So in our new gazetted constitution, the parameters of vetting of a candidate, which was a question the other time, have now been settled in our new constitution.
So where does the party go from here?
Well, the party is building its capacity to make sure that delivers the new Uganda that has promised to Ugandans. We are talking about elections, but these are not elections.
Alex Waiswa is the deputy spokesperson of the Opposition National Unity Platform, or NUP. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. In Zambia, the ruling United Party for National Development, or UPND, has publicly welcomed the defection of prominent opposition figures into the party. They include Frank Bwalya, former spokesperson of the Socialist Party, who served as the country's High Commissioner to Australia under the previous administration. Also defecting are Patrick Shwambila from the main opposition Patriotic Front, Jairo Zulu from the Movement for Multi-Party Democracy, or MMD, and Cosmas Cheleshe, the Deputy Secretary General of the Democratic Christian Party. All of the former opposition figures pledged their commitment to the UPND and praised President Hakainde Hichilema's leadership as the best for Zambia. However, Frank Bwalya's defection is generating debate as critics accuse him of disloyalty and of being someone who only seeks financial benefits from the government. Bwalya was a Catholic who left the priesthood to join active politics in 2016. For more on his decision to join the governing UPND party, I reached Frank Bwalya.
I decided to join the UPND because it has the kind of policies that Zambia needs this time around to move the country forward, especially economically. We have a challenge, or should I say we have challenges in the country as a result of failure to take bold decisions in the past, as a result of policies that we kept implementing, knowing too well that those policies could not work. The administration of President Hakainde Hichilema is showing boldness to implement the correct policy decisions and not compromise in the manner of handling, especially the economy. And I personally, and many other Zambians, think that if this government is not supported to continue governing this country beyond 2026, only then, the government will have been seen as having failed.
But Frank, not long ago, you were one of those people saying the same things you are talking about. You were from the Socialist Party. You condemned the president and some of his policies. You argued against it. You were on radio chastising some of the policies that are not people-friendly, that people are disappointed in. What made you all of a sudden, like the biblical Paul, to change your mind, to join the party, and then praise the party? Your critics are saying this is bad politics. You are angry and jobless, and that's why you have joined the UPND.
The way politics is done in this country, you put the government on stop by providing checks and balances, and usually there is an extreme criticism of what is going on. There are very few politicians who would allow their spokesperson, such as I was a spokesperson, to be truthful or to be honest in criticizing the government. That is what has been the situation. But that is now changing, and some political parties are allowing their members, including themselves, to be honest in their criticisms. It is true that some people in this country are suffering. We know very well what is causing, for instance, the high cost of fuel in Zambia. But when you are in the opposition, you don't say, no, because fuel is imported, the government has no control, the government should not put subsidies because this is not good for the economy in the long run. You don't do that. You criticize the government, and you continue pushing them to do more to address the situation.
Frank, you were an integral part of the Patriotic Front, the party that the UPND defeated in the last general election. You were an ambassador, for that matter. You represented the country in Australia. Some of your critics are saying you are disloyal and that you are also playing geo-ethnic politics, and that because you are somehow related to the president, you are actually showing your disloyalty by joining the UPND. How do you respond to that?
In terms of disloyalty, when you belong to a political party, you contribute to that political party. You add value, and the political party decides upon forming government, decides to give you a position in government, maybe appoint you to serve the Zambian people as High Commissioner. That does not mean when you decide to exercise your democratic right to move on, to belong to another political party, you are being disloyal.
What role are you going to play in the UPND, especially since you said they welcomed you warmly and they expect you to contribute to the success of the party?
I have not been promised any specific job or told any specific role that I will play. But the party knows my capacity. The party knows my talents. The party knows my constituency and wants to tap into that. As I'm speaking to you, I'm working for the party. I'm promoting the agenda of the UPND, supporting the president and the government so that they can continue to grow in their confidence as they roll out the development program in Zambia. In this country, when you leave a political party to join another, then it's politics of the belly. After you decide to leave that political party, to go back to that political party you left, then they say you are principled and they embrace you and they speak highly of you. That is the way the game is played.
Frank Bwalya is a new member of the Zambian ruling United Party for National Development, or UPND. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. Malawi's parliament has allowed the government to proceed with its program to send 10,000 workers to work on farms and industries in Israel. The parliament approved the program Thursday after a government fact-finding mission to Israel to evaluate the living conditions of some 700 Malawians already employed there. For VOA, Lamek Masina reports from the Malawian commercial capital, Blantyre.
Presenting the report in parliament, leader of the fact-finding mission, Joyce Chitsulo, said the delegation had several engagements in Israel, including a meeting with Israeli cabinet ministers, a visit to Israel's parliament, and a meeting with labor agents and the workers.
On their part, the Malawi workers generally indicated that they were working according to their contracts and were being treated well. As such, the delegation encourages both government and Malawian youths to take advantage of the job opportunities available in Israel.
The visit followed reports that some Malawian workers were running away from Israeli farms for various reasons.
The workers reported that in some farms, Malawian workers were facing challenges, particularly pay differences, overtime pay, and some routine issues of sanitation facilities in some cases, which were being addressed when reported.
She said the challenges were largely because the workers were not well informed on what to expect in Israel before they left Malawi. Malawi began promoting work in Israel last year with the goal of generating more foreign exchange revenue. Finance Minister Simplex Chichola Banda said this week that $735,000 has already been transferred to Malawi through the Israel Labor Export Arrangement. Currently, Malawians are recruited through the agents in Malawi and Israel who have agreements with Israel farmers in need of workers. Chitsulo said the government needs to set up more comprehensive program.
Considering that there is competition from other countries to export labor to Israel, it is imperative for the government of Malawi to expedite process of signing government-to-government agreement that would guide formal operationalization of labor export.
The lawmakers in Malawi have supported the recommendations, saying doing so will help provide opportunity for those living in rural areas. Until now, most workers going to Israel have come from urban areas. Betha Makins Ndewele is the lawmaker for Balaka West in southern Malawi.
We have a lot of young men and women who are just loitering around, but they have finished school, they have nothing to do. As Balaka West, we are happy to join the other young women in Israel.
However, labor activists say involving politicians in recruiting the workers is wrong. Luther Mambala is former president of the Malawi Congress of Trade Unions.
In the constituencies, there are people of different political affiliations. What will happen to those people that do not belong to the party of that particular MP? Definitely, they'll be trampled down, and they may not access that kind of opportunity because they belong to a different party.
Mambala says it would be better if the Minister of Labour set up employment bureaus to recruit workers on their merits. Malawi was expected to send 10,000 workers to work in Israel, but according to the leader of the delegation, Chitsulo, Israeli authorities told them that Israel could employ up to 100,000 Malawians. Lameck Masina, VOA News, Blantyre.
This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. As the summit meeting of the African Union continues in Addis Ababa, there is expectation that the organization may well issue a very strong support to end the misery in eastern Congo. Of course, the problem of the eastern Congo has existed for decades, but it now gets to a point where many believe that effective action should be taken. Many in the DRC, I'm talking about citizens, of the strong view that the government should not rely on outside forces to tackle the rebellion in the east. In their view, the government should mobilize its army, send it to the east, and defeat the rebel movement, particularly the most important M23. However, many experts believe the government is not in the position to act alone. That is why SADC, the sub-regional organization, is putting together a force to assist the government. But again, there are others who believe the inefficiency in terms of finance and logistics might make it difficult for SADC to accomplish its task. That is where the African Union comes in. If the plans which have been proposed by the ministers prior to the summit convening had already done so, it may be well good to repeat it. The African Union should do what its predecessor, the Organization of African Unity, did in Zimbabwe in 1997 when there was a coup d'etat in Sierra Leone. For the first time, the OAU decided that no longer will coup d'etat be accepted on the continent. And they mandated the sub-regional group ECOWAS on their behalf to restore constitutional government. So this summit could do the same with SADC. Now, there are fears that lack of finance may be a problem. But the African Union can do what we have seen the European Union doing for now almost 2 years. Make a strong appeal to African governments to contribute to a special fund that will help SADC in carrying out the job. But before that, there are certain things the African Union can do. There has been a controversy as to whether the government of Rwanda is responsible for supporting M23, the most difficult of the rebel groups. There are many, many rebel groups in the East. Of course, the president has always said this is a false accusation. And it may be well that SADC consider a new approach, which to deploy its forces in a specially agreed zone. And here, the African Union can be helpful to get the neighboring countries, particularly Rwanda, to agree for the establishment of this buffer zone. And parts of the SADC troops can deploy in that special zone, mainly to answer a question which has been so difficult all these decades. Are there arms transfers from Rwanda to Eastern Congo that is supporting M23? Many say the evidence is already there, but they can be controlled. Secondly, we must not be afraid to tackle another problem. As I said, not only M23 is the rebel movement, there are many. And one must begin to ask that there is another possibility where M23 and all these rebel movements are doing illicit mining to support the operation. Just as in Sierra Leone, diamonds were used, and it was only when we worked out arrangements on blood diamonds that we begin to see some improvements in the field. So these are the things which should be considered now, because it's true that this civil conflict in Eastern Congo cannot continue forever. It is causing problems in East Africa and is slowing down the development progress of the DRC. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Hola. Hola now. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to reflect and reflux a flashback with music from our collection. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my rah. Then she said, sabase. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my rah. Then she said, sabase. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. African American, for sure. I told her, baby, come and ride the rodeo. Every time I come around, man, I go for broke. She give me desktop till I overload. Now, baby, you gon' go where you're supposed to go. Cause I ain't got time for you every day. She said she got a man, keep it on the low. I said he don't speak English, he gon' say, hey. Telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my dad. Then she said, sabase. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my dad. Then she said, sabase. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She from Africa, but she me like she Haitian. Black, but the miles looking Asian. I gave her the can in Kansas. I got it on tape. She on candid camera. Okay, see, I forgot we met at Oklahoma. I used to smoke Regina. She from Arizona. Then I met a girl in Cali. I never disown her. She got that high grade. Her come with diplomas. I want her. But she keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once you take me with you, I never go back. Now I got a lesson that I wanna teach. I'ma show you that where you from, no matter to me. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my rah. Then she said, sabase. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. She said, hola, come on, stop. She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, my rah. Then she said, sabase. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love them all. I don't wanna know, no. Who's taking you home, home? I'm loving you so. The way I used to love you, no. I don't wanna know, no.
was taking you home, 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 home. I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, oh, I don't wanna know. Wasted. And the more I drink, the more I think about you. I go reminds me of you. From this one, hear it from that one, that you got someone new. Yeah. I see, but don't believe it. Even in my head, you're still in my bed. Maybe I'm just a fool.
No more hashtag booed up screenshots. No more trying to make me jealous on your birthday. You know just how I make you better on your birthday. Oh, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you let it down for you, touch you, put you like this? Matter of fact, never mind. We gon' let the past be. Maybe his right now, but your body still.
I don't wanna know. No. Who's taking it wrong?
number pie. We got them cameras hanging, hanging from the ceiling low. We use our bodies to make our own videos. Plenty of music that makes us go crazy, crazy, go. Go crazy, go. We're so alive. We got them cameras hanging, hanging from the ceiling low. We use our bodies to make our own videos. Put on the music that makes us go crazy, crazy, go.
That was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer Justin Thwaite, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, the venom of the viper can do nothing to the back of the crocodile. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa. Sugar on your lips, it's hard to kill. Check it like a pencil, watch it fall down.